Shall we stand as we read our scripture for tonight? It's found in Matthew chapter 16, beginning with verse 1. Then the Pharisees and Sadducees came and, testing him, asked that he would show them a sign from heaven. And he answered and said to them, "When it is evening, you say it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and threatening. Hypocrites! You know how to discern the face of the sky, but you cannot discern the signs of the times. A wicked and adulterous generation seeks after a sign, and no sign shall be given it, except the sign of the prophet Jonah." And he left them and departed. And when his disciples had come to the other side, they had forgotten to take bread. And then Jesus said to them, "Take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees." And they reasoned among themselves, saying, "It is because we have taken no bread." But when Jesus perceived it, he said to them, "O ye of little faith, why do you reason among yourselves because you have brought no bread? Do you not yet understand or remember the 5 loaves of the 5,000 and how many baskets you took up? Nor the 7 loaves of the 4,000 and how many large baskets you took up? How is it that you do not understand that I did not speak to you concerning bread, but you should beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees?" Then they understood that he did not tell them to beware of the leaven of bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and Sadducees. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. Shall we bow our heads in prayer? Our Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight praising and thanking you for your faithfulness. We thank you, Father, for the foundation that we have upon Jesus Christ. We pray that you would bless your word tonight, and as we go over it, Lord, that you would speak to our hearts and draw us to yourself. We give you the praise and the thanks. In Jesus' name, amen. I've entitled it, "The Sign from Heaven." And obviously, this is what they're asking for. The sign from heaven. Now, as I read this account, there are two groups of people that we are facing here. The first group has to do with the Pharisees and Sadducees. It's made up of two smaller groups, really. And the second group having to do with his disciples. And I want you to be aware of some things tonight as we go through this. And I have quite a few verses. Some of you, I don't know, some of you like to go home and actually go over it, and others just come and sit and listen, and that's fine either way. But for those of you who like to mark down and go home and go over it, you may need a pencil and to jot them down. On the Pharisees and Sadducees, we find that these were two different groups, did not get along well together. They had different doctrines. The Pharisees, religion consisted of observing ceremonies and rites of the traditions of the elders. And this kind of holiness led them to separate from many others around them. They were very strict in keeping the law. In fact, they actually added to the law and they took pride in this. And they were more the working class people. The Sadducees were a little different. They were more of the aristocracy. They didn't believe in the resurrection. They didn't believe in angels or immortality. And generally, there was a difference between them. But in this case, they came to test Jesus, and we find them together. Now, we'll find that many times that people who don't get along very well, but when given a common cause of putting somebody down, they start to unite. We're going to find in the last days that there will be a uniting and a merging of people who do not have common doctrine, but will compromise. And of course, we see that church being formed already as we watch the different large mergers that are taking place and overtures to others that are different in belief, but suddenly they find commonalities and they're working to come together. We're going to find that there will be, I believe, a world religion of which the Antichrist will take over and the false prophet. And as we watch these things beginning to come to pass, it's interesting. We have rumblings all over. We have reaching out by the European Common Market. The last I heard, they were reaching out to Canada with some trade agreements. And you say, well, what does this mean? I believe we're going to see things begin to change very shortly. Now, I can only say that upon the Word of God, and I can't say the time, but just with things that are involved, our elections coming up, changes coming about in the world, it's a good time to know our Lord and to be sure that we know Him. I can't think of anything more priceless than to have the assurance that we are in Christ and that He is our rock and that we can stand upon Him. Now, over time, if you follow the Pharisees, they seem to degenerate. They seem to have their hearts hardened, and we'll look at that in the Scripture as this takes place. And I am very concerned about this because the Bible says there'll be before that day comes, the day of the Lord or the day of Christ, either one, there'll be a falling away first and the man of sin be revealed. That falling away means people that have gone to church and probably look very spiritual and very religious. And yet, as it gets close to that time, there's going to be a polarization and there will be a separation until the Christians are left alone. I have no doubt about it. I hear the rumblings already. And we're going to have to make a choice. This week, I've been faced with people who have made choices, some of them very drastic choices. People that my heart goes out to them, but they've chosen the easy way. And it will not be easy to stand for Christ during the last days. But let me tell you, the future is wonderful. The future is wonderful. No matter what, keep our eyes upward and stand fast. So as we discuss these different situations, I will read some of the scriptures and let you see, they're going to be difficult to understand, maybe, depending on how open you are to the Word. And I say that because at times people are not open to the Word. They see something in it and they don't like it, then they don't want to believe it, and they just say, I don't believe that, even though it's right there in front of them. And this is what happens when a heart gets hardened and the eyes are blind and there's no reality. I hurt when that happens. My desire is to make it plain enough and encourage that if there's questions, don't be afraid to ask them. Don't be afraid to ask them. The Lord wants us to understand His Word. Okay, what we read tonight, Jesus said, a wicked and adulterous generation seeks after a sign. You're going to find that as Jesus comments to the scribes and Pharisees, He uses some very strong language. There are chapters where you read it and you, generation of vipers, and I mean, woe unto you. And He gives all these exclamatory phrases that would make us wonder why. But let me tell you, a generation that has the Word preached and they don't listen and they don't receive and they don't accept are truly headed for judgment. Not because of the pastor. Our part is to bring the truth. If God opens the Word to us and we don't bring it, then your blood is on our hands because we haven't told you. But if you choose not to receive the Word of God, then your blood's on your own hands. And so with that, let's go on. In chapter 15, verses 7 through 9 or so, we find the same thing. Scribes and Pharisees, we find at the top of the page, and in verse 7, he says, hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy about you, saying, these people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me, and in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. They had their regulations. This was important to them. They're rules. And so Jesus again calls them hypocrites, and he refers back to a prophecy given by Isaiah. But basically, in this part, all he focuses on is they draw near with their mouth. They talk a good religion, but their hearts are far from me. Now, we'll go on, and I want to read chapter 12. Verses 39 and 40, because we find Jesus said, only one sign will be given you, and this one will explain it. He answered and said to them, this is chapter 12, verse 39. Verse 38 says, some of the scribes and Pharisees were talking to him. We want to see a sign from you. Same question. And he answered and said, an evil and adulterous generation seeks after a sign, and no sign will be given to it except the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of the great fish, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. There we have the sign that Jesus said, that's the only sign I'm going to give. Now, I want you to understand, though, and think back of rich man and Lazarus. Lazarus was in heaven and Abraham, with Abraham, in Abraham's bosom. And the rich man was saying, you know, send Lazarus that he can dip his finger in water and touch my tongue. And Abraham, well, we can't go back and forth. He said, well, at least send him back so that my brothers don't come here. And then the answer came, they won't believe even if one came from the dead. If they don't believe the law and the prophets, they won't believe if there's a miracle. Now, that statement is so important. As we had in Sunday school this morning, there's going to be a flood of miracles, healings, prophecies, and so forth. I believe this will flood the end times. And Satan's going to try and duplicate everything that God has done. Now, we had miracles and of all kinds. The disciples worked them. And during this period of the early church, there were miracles performed and dead raised and brought to life and so on. But that is not what saves a person. What saves is a faith in the living Word of God and in Jesus Christ. That He died, that He was buried, that He rose again. And that's the miracle, Jesus said. That's the sign I'm going to give. So as we look at that, let's go on to Luke 19, and I find this extremely interesting. We'll read, start with verse 41 and just 42, just two verses. He's coming into Jerusalem, and in 39, the Pharisees had called to them from the crowd, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." And he gives them a reply, and then in 41, "Now as he drew near, he saw the city and wept over it." Now, this tells the attitude of Jesus over those who are not where they should be spiritually. Sometimes we think Jesus is hard-hearted. He isn't. He loves. He has no joy in those that die without Christ. That does not bring him joy. So he looks at Jerusalem and he wept over it. And he said, if you had known, even especially in this your day, how were they to have known? It was prophesied. It was prophesied of how many days it would be until he came into Jerusalem. And it was right on the head, especially in this your day, the things that make for your peace. Now, be aware of this next sentence. But now they are hidden from your eyes. There comes a point, and it just hurts me when people turn away from the truth, because there comes a time when it's the last time. We see that in many places in God's Word, where His Spirit will not always strive with man. That happened during Noah's time, and the whole world was wiped out with a flood. Why? Because God had given them everything. They had the knowledge. And then we have, he chooses Israel. And he said, I did not choose you because you were the greatest, back in Deuteronomy, or the biggest. You weren't. You were the least. But he set his love on them to show forth his glory through Israel, and the others could come in through Israel. And we have a few that happened. The one I love was Ruth, and of course, she became Jewish. She said, "Your people will become my people, and your God, my God." And I'll never forget, my wife had that inscribed, the reference on my wedding ring. It was so meaningful. And there were a couple of others who became Jewish and believed in the God of the Jews. They had much. God had revealed to them much. Let's go on. Remember what we just read, "But now they are hidden from your eyes." And I should quote another verse. "If the gospel be hidden, it is hidden to those who are lost or who are perishing, and whom the God of this age hath blinded the minds of those that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is in the image of God, should shine unto them." That's in 2 Corinthians 4:3-4. If the gospel is hidden, it is hidden to those who are lost, and the gospel truly is hidden to those. When Satan gets a hold and we have our own direction that we want to go and our own things we want to take part of and we don't have time for God, Satan uses that and we become harder and harder and our eyes become closed to what he's doing. And there's no interest. We have no interest. You know, the Bible is alive, but not to everyone. The invitation is there. "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." But it doesn't stop there. It says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me," or "from me. I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest to your soul." In other words, get harnessed with him. Paul says it a little differently. "Present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto me, which is his perfect will. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your body." You know, it's so easy to be conformed to this world by the renewing of your mind, that you may present yourself. Now, let's go on. As we've looked at these, I want to go back to Matthew 13, and I always end up here because there's so much here. Jesus gives the whole message from the Calvary to the end of the 70th week of Daniel, which is the end of the age. It's when the Jews are going to all be saved, a remnant of them. Now, in Matthew 13, Jesus gives a parable of the four soils in verses 1 through 8. And we've spent quite a bit of time on that. And for those who haven't been in that, I want to say every one of you are found in one of those types of soil. Every one of us are found, we're either producing fruit or we're in one of the first three soils where there's no fruit and no salvation, because the Bible says, "By their fruit you will know them." Now, verse 9, I'm going to use the word interrupt. He's not interrupting, he's teaching. He's going to teach here in verse 9. And he focuses on hearing. Now that's what we're talking about, hearing the word of God. This is what the Pharisees did not do. They did not hear what Jesus said. Oh yes, it went in one ear and out the other. They were interested in the law, in living a rather self-righteous life. And we're in a period of transition during the time we're talking about in the Gospels, from the old covenant to the new covenant. In verse 9, it says, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." And the disciples came and said to him, "Why do you speak to them in parables?" Why do you speak to them in parables? Why do you tell these little stories that present truths, is what they're asking. They didn't understand that. And notice Jesus' answer, "Because it's been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given." To them it has not been given. You say, that's not fair. When you go back to the Old Testament and all that God gave, you'll find that God is very exact and very right in what he does. It's hard for Paul to go through some of these things And he makes a statement. Let me just take a minute and read it for you. A couple of verses of how Paul feels about these things. And it just hurts him. He says, I tell you the truth in Christ. I'm not lying. My conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Spirit that I have great sorrow and continual grief in my heart. For I could wish that I myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. For the Jewish people, this is Romans 9, who are Israelites, to whom pertain the adoption, the glory, the covenants, the giving of the law, the service of God, and the promises. Why does he feel so bad for them? He'll tell you over in Romans 11, 24, 25, I think. Hardness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. Their hearts have been hardened. Now, let's go back to Matthew 13. Jesus had just said it's not given to them to know the mysteries. I'm talking in parables so they don't understand. Generally, we use a parable so people do understand. And then he goes on. For whoever has, to him more will be given. Okay, stop a minute. We're talking about hearing. We start in verse 9. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. That phrase is repeated many times in the New Testament, 7 times in Revelation with the 7 churches. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. In other words, people read the Bible and they don't hear. They don't understand. You can't just read the Bible without seeking the God of the Bible to help you interpret. The Holy Spirit is the one that opens our eyes. When he called me into the ministry, I prayed desperately that the Holy Spirit would guide me into all truth, because that's what he promises in John 16, that the Spirit of truth will teach us all things. Now, let's go on. Whoever has, to him more will be given. Whoever hears, as we begin to put into practice that which God tells us, he will open our eyes to more. Now, this is exciting. Those who hear, we are promised that we'll be given more. And then he goes on to say, but whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken from him. In other words, they don't deserve it. If they do have a little bit of understanding, it'll be hardened and it'll disappear. We don't play with God. When we have an opportunity to listen, we seek him with all our hearts. Now let's go on. Therefore, I speak to them in parables because seeing they do not see, hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. And in them the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled, which says, hearing ye will hear and shall not understand, and seeing you will see and not perceive. For the heart of this people, now notice this phrase, has grown dull. It wasn't always real dull, but it's grown dull. It's so easy for people to think they've got a long time. Many times I have seen just this week where a party made a decision that could mean the difference between life and death, heaven and hell. And they chose to go back where they had come from. Last week, another party. And it would be frightening, except I know the Word of God says there'll be a falling away. These are people that have both professed Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Now, their ears are hard of hearing, verse 15, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their heart and turn so that I should heal them. Oh, my time is running out, and I didn't even get very far here. I want to go to Matthew 23, verse 32. Now, notice in verse 13, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees. 14, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees. 15, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees. You get the idea who he's talking to. Now, let's go down to verse 32. I think it's 7 or 8 times that phrase is used, and then when it doesn't use that, it talks about the blind who lead the blind. Now, in verse 32, fill up then the measure of your father's guilt. serpents, brood of vipers, how can you escape the condemnation of hell? Therefore, indeed, I send you prophets, wise men, scribes. Some of them you will kill and crucify. Some of them you will scourge in your synagogues and persecute from city to city, that on you may come all the righteous blood shed on the earth, from the blood of the righteous Abel to the blood of Zechariah, son of Berechiah, whom you murdered between the temple and the altar. And then verse 37. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the one who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her, how often I wanted to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings. But you weren't willing. You weren't willing. We know that in churches today, don't we? You preach, but people aren't willing to hear. They aren't willing to sacrifice. Jesus said, if any man would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. I believe in Luke it says daily, and follow me. Verse 38, the first verse 38, see, your house is left to you desolate. Now, I'm going to turn to one more portion, Acts 28. Now, this is in the book of Acts towards the end of Paul's life. He's in Rome. He's in prison. Not his final time, but I want you to know, see what he says. He has given the gospel. People have come to him. And in verse 23, so when they had appointed him a day, many came to him at his lodging, to whom he explained and solemnly testified of the kingdom of God, persuading them concerning Jesus, both the law of Moses and the prophets, from morning till evening. Can you imagine Paul? If anyone's a master teacher other than Jesus himself, it would be Paul, giving the gospel from morning till night. And some were persuaded by the things which were spoken, and some disbelieved or did not believe. So when they did not agree amongst themselves, they departed after Paul had said one word. Now notice this. The Holy Spirit spoke rightly through Isaiah the prophet to our fathers, saying, go to this people and say, hearing you will hear and shall not understand, and seeing you will see and not perceive. For the heart of this people has grown dull. Remember that? Their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their heart and turn so that I should heal them. Therefore, let it be known to you that salvation of God has been sent to the Gentiles, and they will hear it. Now here we have the transition. Here we have the transition. And national Israel is going to be blind in part through the fullness of times till the Gentiles become in. Israel will be brought back supernaturally when the 70th week, that seven-year period, has ended, according to Daniel 9:27, 24 through 27. Yet they earned it by not listening and not taking advantage. Now there are going to be Gentiles who will hear the word and not take advantage, not seek until they've got whatever it is that they need, which is knowing Jesus Christ and have a living relationship with him. God is real. Thousands have religiosity. Thousands will go to church on Sunday and come home and it's over. But there's a remnant that's going to be real. I desperately want people to hear the word. But don't stop there. Begin to seek. You will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. We have all kinds of promises that God is not slack concerning his promises, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering, not willing towards us, not willing that any should perish. God is faithful. It's we as individuals that need God's help. And all who call on the name of the Lord will be saved, we're told in three different spots, and two of them, one is in Joel and one is in Acts, and it has to do after the judgment when it talks about the day of the Lord and it talks about the signs that will come before the day of the Lord. And then it says, all who call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. The other is in Romans 10, 13. Now, don't take that I can live until towards the end and that I'll call. You heard what happened to these people. Their hearts are hardened. They go so far and God says, go. Now, that's not a message you hear much, but that's what the Bible says. And I can't plead with people enough to make sure that we have assurance and that God is working in our lives. This is not form. This is reality. This is not just a habit. This is being fed so that we can grow. Next week, you see, Jesus, they asked, we want a sign from heaven. They didn't realize they were looking at the sign. And next week, we'll talk about the true sign, and we'll get that second part of the second group of people, the disciples. Now, they have some misunderstanding. We're going to talk about why are they different? Why are they different? I pray that this message has touched some, because I wanted to get across the importance of being real with Jesus Christ. We can't afford not to. Shall we bow our heads in a word of prayer? Our Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight, praising and thanking you that you are real. Thanking you for the word. Thanking you for your teaching. Thanking you for the examples you give. Thanking you that the invitation is still open. Oh, Father, we praise you. And Lord, if there are any tonight that don't know you, that they might be encouraged to truly seek you and not give up until they have found what we're preaching. And for those of us that do know you, may we be encouraged to draw near, to keep our eyes focused on you, Lord, that we might be able to stand in the evil day, as you tell us, and having done all, to still stand. Lord, be with each one of us. We pray in Jesus' name and say thank you. Amen.